Welcome and thanks for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages.
Blessing from being here. Let me turn on this mic here and we'll get into the message. Open your Bible, if you would, to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. I'm going to take our text from verse number 9, but we're going to read a passage that will give us some background on what's going on here. Psalm 139, verse 7, we'll begin. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Now, the word hell sometimes in the Bible refers to the place of lost souls. Sometimes the word hell refers to the grave. And either way, you can't escape from God, no matter what the case may be. Verse number 9 says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. And thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing. Nothing, Lord, can come eternal of the message this morning unless your Holy Spirit takes it and deals with us on a personal level. We pray if someone is here that doesn't know Christ as Savior, they'd get it settled before they leave today. We pray you'd speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to gain benefit from your word. And Father, we'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak this morning on the subject, let's take a ride on the wings of the morning. Let's take a ride on the wings of the morning. What is the wings of the morning? Well, for example, Matthew 24:27 says, Jesus said, as the lightning shineth from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We think of lightning, we think of thunderstorm and the lightning that comes, but when you're dealing with light, this can refer either to lightning or what's being spoken of here in Psalm 139, verse number 9, is when it talks about the wings of the morning, it's talking about as the day lightens. Okay? It's the outspreading radiance which in the eastern heavens precedes the rise of dawn. The speed with which the day dawns. We're not talking about the speed of light. We know the speed of light is 186,000 miles a second. We're not talking about how fast light moves. For example, coming from the sun toward us. We're talking about because of the way the earth is and its constant turning that we're talking about day breaking. The earth is about 25,000 miles in circumference. That's why we have the time zones. Because day is dawning in parts of the world that are still dark or that are going dark, whatever the case may be. So if you think about that and the time zones that we have and that what it is, it depends on where you are in the world, I suppose, north or south and that type of thing. But essentially, what I'm saying is not the speed of light itself, but the dawning of light because the earth shadows us from the sun, that the speed of day dawning is about 1,000 miles an hour. That's how fast this planet is turning. Every 24 hours, this is what happens. Think about it. The wings of the morning, by way of introduction, can take you anywhere you want to go. The wings of the morning can take you to places that man has not been. But the wings of the morning always take us to a place where God is. Because if somehow, some way, we could jump up on those wings of the morning and ride, no matter where we came down, God is there. It said that many years ago on an ancient mariner's map, a map made for sea captains many, many years ago, that some sea captain had gotten a hold of this old map and scrawled in big letters, "Here be sea monsters." He'd written in some places around the map. Well, a Christian sea captain got a hold of that map and crossed out where he'd said, "Here be sea monsters," and wrote instead, "Here be God." You can't go anywhere where God is not. The wings of the morning take us swiftly. Only the fastest of men's rockets and planes can fly faster than the wings of the morning. And we know we cannot literally climb up on those wings. You could if you got in an airplane and traveled at a certain speed where you were matching the dawning of the day. That'd be an interesting thing. We've seen things like that. I remember when my wife and I went to Australia, and we flew to Los Angeles, then we flew to Honolulu, then we flew, landed in Auckland, New Zealand, then we flew to Australia. Well, as we were flying along, it was dawning behind us. And it was the day of her birthday. And just within, I can't remember what it was, an hour or two, we crossed the international date line, and she lost her birthday. It wasn't her birthday anymore. Really? That's some crazy stuff going on. But I'm just telling you this. God is in control of all of these things. And I want us to see, first of all, some wings that we don't want to ride on. Some wings we don't want to ride on. Verse number 7 says of Psalms 139, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" You don't want to get on any wings that take you away from God. By the way, you can't get away anyhow. That's what this passage is about. And by the way, why would you want to get away from God? The songwriter Harriet B. Stowe, a famous name in history, wrote these words, "Still, still with thee, when purple mountain morning breaketh, when the bird waketh and the shadows flee, fairer than morning, lovelier than daylight, dawns the sweet consciousness, I am with thee." Verse 3, "Still, still with thee, as to each newborn morning, a fresh and solemn splendor still is given. So doth this blessed consciousness awaking breathe each day nearness unto thee and heaven." Thank God we're still, still with Him. You can't get away from Him, but just so happened we studied this morning Psalm chapter number 11 in our Sunday school class, and it had to do with David being advised by somebody to flee as a bird. Get away from your circumstances. Let me tell you this. You can't get away from your circumstances. You can't get away from God. Why would you want to? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He is our closest companion. Don't go anywhere that take you away from God. An example of that, chapter 23 and verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 5 says this. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Now, if you think you're just going to leave God behind and go out and become very wealthy, you're going to find out that riches fly away. By the way, we all know about that already. Just try going out to eat. Sit down. Order something. When they bring the check, you'll see a bunch of your money fly out of your wallet. And then they expect the tip. And they'll keep flying. When you go to the grocery store, how many of you know what I'm talking about? You go to the grocery store. Isn't it an amazing thing how you can get $300 worth of groceries in a few sacks in the grocery cart? You get to the checkout line and they smile at you. Really, they should be saying, "Hello, sucker." And you open your wallet and there goes all your money flying away. Or you put your credit card in. You don't see it fly away, but when you get your statement, you'll know that it flew away. Amen. I mean, no matter what you do, everything costs more than it used to. Riches fly away. We try the best we can to be secure for retirement years, but then settles in inflation, which averages 3% a year average. And so if you've been retired for a while, it's sort of not there anyway. And then you got all that good stuff, you know, and then all your medical bills. And so you go to the doctor and you go to the hospital and all your money flies away there. I'm just saying it's not all about the money. God's in control and He can take care of our needs. But don't take any wings that'll take you away from the circumstance God has placed you in. Look at Psalm chapter 55. Psalm chapter 55, verse number 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. This is the Psalm of David. Verse 2. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. David was often running from King Saul, who was continually trying to kill him. This is likely one of those situations, but notice what he said in verse 6. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. You see, David was in the will of God. God had already anointed him through the prophet Samuel to be the next king of Israel. But yet he gets in this situation and says, you know, I just wish I could get away from what God wants me to do. Don't ever take the wings of a dove and say, I just wish I could get away. Too many people have left the will of God because of the difficulties and circumstances in their life. Let me say to you, don't ever allow circumstances that God has placed you in. Don't ever let those circumstances become such that you believe you need to get out of them because of the difficulty that you're in. Everybody's got problems. Okay? Like a saying, be nice to everybody because everybody's having a tough time. We all got problems. We all have difficulties. And the truth of the matter is, we can always find somebody that's got worse problems than we have. But we need to be careful about that. Think about it. Referring to the Ark of Noah, the dove had to return to the ark to find rest after it was sent out. Out there, sent the dove out. Had to come back because there wasn't any place to rest there. Sometimes we need to return to the Lord because we've flown off and said, I need to get away from here. You know, the Christian's armor was not made to retreat in. And so we need to keep serving the Lord. Now, only got 2 points. But point number 2 has a bunch of sub-points, so don't get all encouraged here about anything, all right? Here's some wings you do want to ride on. First of all, the wings of God's grace. Look at Exodus chapter number 19. Exodus chapter number 19. This is a story, of course, of God delivering the nation of Israel out of Egypt. It pictures, of course, in our day, this matter of becoming a believer, God delivering us from the bondage of sin. And how that the Passover, that the blood was placed on the doorposts and upon the lintels, and how the death angel passed over those who did so. It's talking about God's deliverance, and God's deliverance in our life from our sin has to do with the blood of Jesus Christ shed on Calvary's cross. He died for us. 3 days later, He rose from the dead. And if we'll put our faith and trust in Him, He will deliver us from our sin. Not only from the penalty of our sin, which would be hell, but also from the presence of our sin. Now, He doesn't remove all the sin out of our life immediately because we still have that old fleshly nature that wants to do wrong. But one day He will deliver us completely. Won't that be a wonderful thing? We go to heaven with our glorified body, whether we were in the grave and came out at the rapture, whether our body was changed during the rapture. What a wonderful thing it'll be to stand before God in a body that cannot sin and cannot get sick and cannot die. What a time that's going to be. The wings of God's grace. Let's read here Psalm Exodus chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. In the 3rd month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. They were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to this house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. They were worshipers of nature. They worshipped all kinds of false gods. They worshipped the frog god, Heka. You imagine worshiping a frog? How's he going to answer your prayer, ribbit? I don't know. So God said, Oh, you want some frogs? I'll give you some frogs. He turned them loose all over the land. There's frogs everywhere. Inside their house, they'd bake bread. Had frogs gotten the dough, and they'd bake frogs into the bread. If I got any green in my bread, I want it to be zucchini bread. I don't know about you. All of those false gods, were God was showing them, this is not the true God, not just for Israel's sake, but for Egypt's sake, so they would know that He's the Lord. Verse number 4, you've seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Verse 5, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Thank God for His grace. There are some wings we need to ride on. Get up on the wings of God's grace and ride. Songwriter said it like this, He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He giveth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. With multiplied sorrow, he multiplies peace. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Thank God. I don't know about you, but since July the 7th, 1974, I've been riding on the wings of God's grace. He saved me. He called me to his service. He's blessed me with a wonderful family. Blessed me with a wonderful church family. More than one through the years, by the way. He's been so good to me in so many ways. Oh, there's some wings. You tired of making it on your own? Trying to do it all by yourself? Trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Let's move on. We see next the wings of God's goodness, His provision, and His care. Deuteronomy chapter 32, God goes on to tell the nation of Israel what He's done for them. Deuteronomy 32, beginning in verse 9, "For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste howling wilderness He led about. He instructed him, He kept him as the apple of His eye, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings." Can you imagine that? I have never seen this in nature, where an eagle would put an eaglet up on its wings and soar. I do know this, I've heard it told, that sometimes when those eagles are trying to learn to fly and they begin to fall, that the mother eagle will swoop under them and bear them up upon her wings. The wings of God's goodness. Verse 12. Deuteronomy 32. "So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride upon the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of cow," that's cow's milk, "and milk of sheep with fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape," that's grape juice, "all the blessings God has given to us, His provision and His care." In the course of the song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," it says this, "Great is Thy Faithfulness, great is Thy Faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Let me tell you this. I'm here to tell you, I've been riding along on the wings of God's goodness. He's treated me better than I deserve. I've reaped better than I've sowed. And I thank God for that. Number three, letter C, we see the wings of God's garrison or protection. In Ruth chapter number 2, beginning in verse 10, after Boaz, who later became Ruth's husband, what a wonderful story that is, by the way, showed favor to Ruth and promised to protect her from the men of the field that she would be reaping, so that she could take care of herself and her mother-in-law, Naomi. And when he showed favor and promised her protection, it says, "Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. The wings of God's garrison. The story is told many years ago of two missionaries in Malaya who walked to a distant village for some money that had been sent to a bank for them. They were returning to their station and night overtook them. They prayed and committed themselves to the Lord. And they lay down to sleep on a lonely hillside. Some weeks later, a man came to the mission hospital for treatment where they worked. And he looked intently at the missionary doctor and said, "I've seen you before." The doctor said, "No, I don't think we've ever met, but we have met. You were sleeping one night on a hillside. Several of us saw you withdraw some money from the bank. We followed you, intending to rob you when it was dark, but we could not get near you because you were surrounded by soldiers." "Soldiers?" exclaimed the missionary. "There were no soldiers with us." The bandit said, "But there were soldiers with you. 16 of them. Their swords were drawn. And we were filled with fear and ran away." The Bible in Psalm 34:7 says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." By the way, there's people who say, "I'd like to see an angel someday." Can I remind you? The godly missionaries never even saw the angels. Guess who saw the angels? The ones who meant harm to the missionary. Maybe if you see an angel, you're on the wrong side of things. You ever think about that? I'm just saying. A full reward under whose wings thou art come to trust. Psalm chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. "Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings." God's garrison or protection. This is a true story. I do not know where it occurred at. Walter Knight tells this story. He said, "For days the snow fell unabated up till the roofs of homes were heavy with snow. One night a robber entered a home occupied by a Christian man and wife and their little baby. As the robber moved about quietly in the room where all three were sleeping, the baby began to move and showed signs of awakening. The robber, fearing that the baby might awaken and cry and betray his presence, gently lifted the baby and placed him just outside the front door. The baby awakened and began to cry. His crying awaked the father and mother. They ran in the direction where the sound came from, and just as they ran out of the front door, the weight of the snow caused the roof to collapse. They were safe. Later, the robber was found dead beneath the ruins, near the things that he had stolen." Aren't you glad we have a God that can protect us? Psalm 36, verse 7 also says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." Just keep on serving God. Keep on living for him. By the way, there's no hope or protection outside of his wings. And then fourthly, we see the wings of God's glory. I've been riding on all these wings ever since I got saved. How about you? the wings of God's glory. Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 says this, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." Which side do you want to be on? That doesn't sound like a good side to be on right there. Verse 2, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." Oh, we pray for people's healing constantly around here. Somebody's always coming up for prayer. God is a God who can heal. By the way, it's not always his will to heal. But he's still good and he's still God. "He'll rise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as the calves of the stall." It may be one of two times at your death you'll experience the wings of God's glory. Psalms chapter 90, verses 9 and 10 say this, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow for soon, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." I don't know if you're familiar with the gospel song, "I'll Fly Away." Many years ago, I was around a fellow who, he was a Bible teacher in a church, but he said he didn't like that song. He said, "Where in the world does it say that in the Bible? That song, I'll fly away." Right there's where it says it. Right there in the Bible. "I'll fly away." Where are you going to fly away to? To heaven, amen? That's where you're going to fly away to. Someone said it like this, "The sands of time are sinking, the dawn of heaven breaks, the summer morn I've sighed for, the fair west sweet morn awakes. Dark, dark hath been the midnight, but day spring is at hand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land." Oh, do you have a loved one that knew the Lord and you grieved because of their death? Just tell you this, they took wings and flew to be with the Lord. The story is told of two little birds building their nest in a garden. A little girl named Bonnie Jean found the nest. There were 4 speckled eggs in it. She said, "How pretty they are." Weeks later, her brother went with her to see the beautiful eggs. They looked into the nest and there was only broken, empty shells. She said, "Oh, the pretty eggs are all spoiled now." Her older, wiser brother said, No, they're not spoiled. The best part of them is taken wings and flown away. I'll meet you in the morning. I'll meet you in the morning just inside the eastern gate over there. If not at our death, will we fly away? Or it could be at his return. Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." I've done a lot of funerals in my ministry. I've yet to see this not the case that I'm going to tell you about. Every grave I've ever been to, I don't know who told these people this, but there may be some it's not the case, but everyone I've ever been to, the graves are dug east and west. And when you do the funeral, I've done it a lot of times, I say to those who are from the funeral, which side is the head on? You see, it's on the west side. You know why that is? Somewhere, somehow, I bet you a lot of these people don't even know it anymore. Why? Because of that scripture. They're buried in such a way that when Jesus comes, they'll sit up. He comes from the east. Whew. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus guarantees that. May I say to you that you and I are going to go to be with Him at His return. We may not be one of those that wake up out of the grave. Now our soul's already been with Him, and the Bible says He's going to bring it with Him, and it'll reclaim the body and immediately become a resurrected body like that of Jesus. But there's some of us, we're going to be walking along, and the next moment we're going to be flying along. Because at that very time when He comes, we shall not all sleep, the Bible says, but we shall all be changed. For in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, well, all of a sudden, we'll defeat death, never have to die, and our body will change. We'll go to be with the Lord. Oh, what a time that's going to be. Centuries ago, in the coastal region of the southern tip of Africa, that area was known as the Cape of Storms. If you go around the southern tip, the Cape of Storms. It was a graveyard for ships. No ship had ever been known at that time to round the Cape and return. But there was one intrepid navigator who believed he could round the Cape and return. And he succeeded. And when he did so, the name of the Cape was changed to what it is today, the Cape of Good Hope. Till Jesus died and rose again, death was a Cape of Storms. He rounded the Cape and has begotten us again, the Bible says, unto a lively hope by His triumph over death. And because He lives, we too shall live. Let me close with the last verse of that song that I mentioned by Harriet Stowe. The fifth verse says, so shall it be at last in that bright morning when the soul waketh and life's shadows flee. Oh, in that hour fairer than daylight dawning shall rise the glorious thought, I am with thee forevermore. Let me ask you to bow your head.
Thanks again for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages. We hope you got something from this message.